Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Anthony, this Monday marks 112 years, the sinking of the Titanic, and the Buffalo History Museum is taking a look back. If you could give us a little overview of this podcast and what's happening at the museum.
Absolutely. So we've been doing the podcast for a little over 3 years now, and really the objective of it is to meet people where they're at, be able to tell these stories of Western New York history to people when they're driving to work or taking a walk and whatnot. So what we try and do is find these topics that are, kind of general interest topics and share these stories of Western New Yorkers, the events, the industries that have been here. It's very timely that we're doing the Titanic one, as you said, for this anniversary. So we want to take a look back and see who are the Buffalo people, the Erie County people, if there were any, who were on Titanic and what was their fate or, what happened to them, what was their story.
And you told me, you were just telling me that there were quite a few Western New Yorkers on the Titanic, but you're focusing on two specifically.
Yeah. So there are upwards of about 30 people between Western New York and Southern Ontario who were on the ship. But for this podcast, for the purposes of this story, we're looking at the two men who were from Buffalo and Erie County. So one was from Buffalo. His story is pretty well known. And then the second man was from Kenmore.
Can you tell me a little bit in detail about those two gentlemen?
So the first one was actually a first-class passenger, Edward Austin Kent, and he was a well-known architect in Buffalo. He has buildings in Buffalo, in Toronto, in Chautauqua, and he was living at the Buffalo Club. He was, a well-established, well-respected architect in the area. Some of his more well-known buildings would include the Unitarian Church on Elmwood, the Chemical No. 5 Firehouse on Cleveland Ave, a number of houses in the area. And his story is one, you think about the James Cameron movie, and there's examples of these chivalrous men leading people to the lifeboats, and that's very much the story that Kent has. He, multiple accounts have him going back into the ship to lead people to the lifeboats. One account has him actually giving up a spot in a lifeboat to somebody who he knew that had a wife and family. These chivalrous acts, giving up his spot for others. One of the people that he knew on the ship, she was a journalist, writer, Helen Churchill Candy. And at one point, he runs into her in the, skirmish that's going on when everyone's trying to get to the lifeboats. And he is going to take her, escort her onto one of these lifeboats. And she, in fear that she's going to lose it, takes out a locket from her pocket. And it's got an image of her mother in it. So she gives it to him for safekeeping. He puts it in his pocket, and she survives. The last account of Kent's whereabouts was from her. She says that she saw Kent waving goodbye from the deck of the Titanic as she's on the lifeboat, kind of drifting away. Kent, they find his body. A ship called the McCabe Bennett leaves Nova Scotia on, I believe, the 17th, and April 17th, and searches for any bodies in the water. And on roughly about April 20th, they find the body of Edward Austin Kent. So they find the body of Edward Austin Kent, and he's labeled as body number 258. He's put in a storage locker on the ship with two other first-class passengers. One of them was Isidore Strauss, the founder of Macy's. The second one was John Jacob Astor, the well-known New York financier, the richest man on the ship, I believe. And so they take an inventory of his clothing, the description of him. They say a man in his 50s, gray mustache, and then in his pockets they list as one of the items this locket that that Candy had given him. The second man from Erie County on the ship was a man named Henry Soothall, from who actually lived in Kenmore. His mother owned a store that was on Mang. They lived on LaSalle, I believe. And he was a trimmer, somebody who did work on the interior, the upholsteries of carriages and cars. And while he's a third class passenger. Many of the third class passengers on this ship would have been people coming from other countries to get established and, you know, get a new start in America. Henry's story is a little bit different in that he took a 2-year long holiday, this world trip, with one of his friends, Howard. And together they were going across the United States from Buffalo to San Francisco, hitting all these cities in between. And they also went to Egypt, England, Australia. In Australia, Henry met this woman, fell in love with her, and according to the letters that he sent home, he wanted to, in short time, return to Australia and hopefully marry her. So Soothall and his traveling partner named Howard Irwin, they worked together. They were also musicians, so they probably made a little bit of extra money while they were on their trip, probably playing the odd performance. And they were third class. And now, while the third class passengers on Titanic were certainly treated far differently from the first class passengers, they wouldn't have access to the Turkish baths, the gymnasium, the swimming pool. The Titanic did have relatively respectable third class accommodations. Well, when it was time to come back to America to make the trip, for whatever reason, Howard was not on board with Henry. So that's why we don't have two people from Kenmore, from Buffalo. That's why we don't have three people from Buffalo who perish on Titanic. Howard, there's a few different accounts that come across in the newspapers of the day, because they're reporting, they don't know what the facts are, they're reporting different stories as they hear them. One tale as to why he wasn't on the ship says that he was sold into slavery in Egypt and only found his freedom after the ship had already left port. We know that that's not a true story, but it was, regardless, it was printed in the papers. What likely happened is he returned to Buffalo to be with his girlfriend. So he left early, avoided his fate on Titanic. So despite the fact that Howard did not make the trip on Titanic with Henry, Henry still has a lot of Howard's belongings with him, a trunk full of letters and things. And that's actually how I found out about this story. I was at one of those Titanic traveling exhibits. It was in Florida at the time, and you can go through, see artifacts that belong to different people. And I had known about Edward Austin Kent on Titanic, but I did not know about Soothall or Irwin. And they had a calling card of Irwin. And I looked at it, it caught my eye. It said Howard Irwin from Buffalo. And I was like, I've never heard of this guy. So then I came back, I did the research on it, and I realized the reason I hadn't heard of him is because he was not, in fact, on Titanic. I was kind of duped by this exhibition that they had this card on display. But regardless, that's kind of what inspired me to write this story. And then looking back, you know, this story is one that's been covered by various historians. And, you know, while we're focusing on these two people, again, there's a family from Niagara Falls, the Goodwins, who I believe every one of them perishes. There's people from Albion that are on Titanic. There's people from Southern Ontario. So the way that Titanic affects Western New York, you know, of course, Buffalo's eighth largest city at the turn of the century. So, like, why wouldn't we have a lot of people from this area that were on Titanic? It makes perfect sense. But to get back to Kent and Soot Hall, you know, despite the fact that the third class accommodations were fairly well appointed and, you know, much better than a lot of other cruise liners, there was a big difference between third class and first class and the experience of these two men on the ship. So probably the most poignant example I can give is that Kent, you know, his body's recovered, it's embalmed on the McKay-Bennett, he's stored in this locker and brought back to Buffalo, buried at Forest Lawn. For the people that would have been recovered by the McKay-Bennett that were third class, there were, I want to say, 116 third class passengers that were recovered. They were not embalmed. They were given a, you know, summarily buried at sea. Now, of them, of this 116 people, only 58 of them were identified. They never identify the body of Soot Hall. He could have been one of those bodies that were recovered by that ship, the McKay-Bennett, but we'll never know. But just the idea that first-class passengers are stored in this private locker, even in death, these three people, Strauss, Kent, Astor, are treated separately from the rest. The second-class passengers are given their own storage lockers, they're stored in their own locker, and then third-class passengers are given a burial mass and essentially thrown overboard.
They met similar fates, but were vastly different people, the two that you're talking about. What did you find most fascinating or intriguing of these two men?
Number one, I love that added detail of the locket in the Kent case. And, you know, when people find out about that little detail, the first thing they're drawn to is, again, the movie, because that's how so many people know about Titanic, especially younger generations. So the idea that there was this piece of jewelry, that it was in somebody's pocket and it goes overboard, you know, that kind of captures people's attention. But, I mean, you couldn't write this probably better for a movie. When Kent, so one of Kent's main buildings is the Unitarian Universalist Church on Elmwood. That's where they're having his funeral mass. During the mass, that's when word finally reaches the family that his body's been recovered. So a letter is delivered to the church and circulated among some of the family that Kent's body had been recovered. Now, they didn't make an announcement. They didn't, you know, announce it to the congregation saying that they found his body, but the word kind of circulated through it. And just the timing of that, I mean, what are the odds? It's such a crazy coincidence that it happens at that time. And then for Soot Hall, you know, the idea that it wasn't just a person coming here. He had such a unique story in that, you know, he's a traveling musician. He's with one of his best friends traveling the world. They have this epic adventure around the world. He meets the girl who is potentially the love of his life in Australia. And, you know, so you've got this really great rising action and then this tragic fate at the end. So in both instances, there's these cinematic storylines that accompany them that I think really can capture people's attention.
Is there anything that the patrons of the Buffalo History Museum will be able to see as far as maybe exhibits or collections? And where will the podcast be available?
We do have some items in our library that pertain to Titanic. We've got articles that have been clipped, one item that's been published by a former director here, William Senior, that these publications tell the story in great depth. You know, the podcast that's going to come out is 15, 20 minutes long. These go into much more detail and really, you know, round out the story of these two individuals much more than, you know, a short podcast can. However, we don't have objects of these people. There are family members in the area that are still alive between here and I think Pennsylvania for some of them. So I'm sure that, you know, there are potentially objects. Maybe someday they'll come into our collection. Who knows? That'd be fascinating. However, the podcast itself will be out Monday morning. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, pretty much anywhere you download your podcasts, all the major directories.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too.
Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.